It's going down right now with the Joseph Bard Podcast. Make sure y'all watch the Joseph Bard Podcast ringing off right now. I am the KID, the Kid Capri. You know what it is. Salute. Block party action. Me.
Hey, man. How's it going? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right.
Doing all right, man. Well, cheers to you and cheers to your success, man. I hear that you got two songs coming through.
Yeah, I just started to kickstart it up, but I'm taking a different approach on it now because I know the late RIP Takeoff. I just saw this stuff happen with Takeoff, and it made me really rethink it, rethink a lot of things.
Rethink a lot of things such as life? I mean, what's going on right now?
Well, I think I was talking to my girl the other day, and she was talking about how, you know, you only get one life, you get one quarter. How are you going to use your quarter? And Takeoff had taken off. He had separated from Offset, and he did this album with Quavo, only built for Infinity Links. And he's got a track called Us Versus Them. And, you know, the track was gold. The guy was awesome. And let's reset.
No, we're good, man. We're good. No, the track, you're talking about the most recent track.
You were talking right now. What was the first question?
Well, we're talking about.
What is it that made me want to take a different approach on it?
Right, right. So you're talking about how Quavo and Takeoff and their music, like, did it just inspire you to do something different, or what's going on there?
Well, look, I don't think that Takeoff should have actually been the target in that. And honestly,
nobody should be the target.
No, of course not. Of course especially not over some words. But the whole trap lifestyle. Why do we call it trap music?
That's an interesting question. Now, trap music, it depends on what you're defining what trap music is, because trap music is, to me as a DJ, I'm talking about something that rolls in between 98 BPMs to 100 BPMs that has a rap consistent
beat. You're breaking it down a lot more than kids nowadays.
Okay.
So okay. Trap music, what is trap music? Trap music, to me, it traps young men's minds. It traps you into thinking that the only way that you can be successful is by selling drugs. The only way that you can be successful is by carrying a gun at you at all times and being ready. You know, the people that make it, you're talking about a small percentage. Small percentage. And there's a bunch of kids hungry for it. Hungry for it that never get there. So you have all of these little kids looking up to these people that do trap music. And in reality, they're trapping you into doing exactly what they want you to do.
Well, I mean, okay, so let's go back to something that you and I had been talking about, and we're talking about the age in which we live in.
Yes.
And we're in an age where we still continuously post things, do it for the likes, do it for the tweets, the retweets, and all that good stuff, right? I mean, we're in the social media age.
Yes. Yes.
And everybody has a voice.
Everybody has a voice. But nobody cares about what you're saying.
Okay.
Until you have that platform. Until you're there. And sadly, the only way that you get there is by promoting a lifestyle that they want you to live. How many times do you see a rich executive getting killed on the news? Mm-hmm. Never. Mm-hmm. It's always the rapper. The rapper that they have signed that they already stealing from their pockets. And then if he gets killed, the producer or the record label, they make more money off of this young black man.
I mean, we're talking about Nipsey Hussle, Pop Smoke, Houdini, Huey. I'll be very honest with you. I've never listened to any of those guys.
Neither have I. Honestly, Pop Smoke was barely coming out of New York. Nipsey Hussle, I know he was a Crip from California. But before we get more deeper into it. Uh-huh. Let me let everybody know right now that it's not a race thing. It's not a race thing, but Mexicans and blacks, we're the same, you know, or let me put it to you like this.
Are you talking about like the come up?
Not only the come up, the way that the new generation views everything. It's not always about race. You go to the store and you buy white eggs and brown eggs. What color are they on the inside? I could
break. They're still eggs. They're still gonna give me the protein that I need to.
Not only that. If I break 20 white eggs and 20 brown eggs inside of the same bowl, mm-hmm. are you gonna be able to tell me which ones were the brown eggs or the white eggs?
No. Oh. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, we're all the same.
Right.
We're all the same, but we make bad choices. And a lot of this negativity that you hear on the radio, a lot of this negativity that, you know what? I'm going to stop saying negativity. All this poison, all this poison that you hear nowadays, it affects young people's minds.
Well, I mean, okay, so let's stop right there real quick. When you say young people's minds, you're talking about the adolescent in America.
Yes,
talking about the adolescent in the world.
Adolescent youth. Okay. Right now, I'm 29. Uh-huh. I was born in 1993. So the stuff that was popping when I was coming up, you know, Tupac had a way of spreading his message with positivity. Mm. You know, he was different. Eminem, that's what I grew up listening to. Mm-hmm. So when I got that first CD, it was just like I soaked it. I soaked it all in. And, you know, his lyrics are great. You know, there might be a little bit of stuff that you can misconstrue as bad in there, but it's nothing like what kids are soaking up nowadays. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. Nothing close.
Well, I mean, I think I know what you're talking about when we talk about, like, Eminem and the lyrics that he talks about. He's talking about, you know, I'm going to murder you, you know. He's talking about I'm going to put you in. Throw you in the river or something like that. Chainsaw. I'm gonna take a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
And these were some of the things that he was using to rhyme in his lyrics and speak his flow, so to speak.
But we also have to remember he was up and coming.
Right.
You have to be.
Oh, no doubt. No
out
doubt.
Of nowhere, you know, you have to sound so different that you stand out so much. And that, with my new tracks coming out, I guess that's what I'm gonna try to do. Mm-hmm. I need to stand out. And take a different route. Okay. Everybody nowadays, even the old rappers, you know, Boosie's always got so much to say. There's these old rappers that are still in the game that they always have so much to say. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody dies, it's always put the guns down, stop the violence. Black Lives Matter, the gay movement that we got, or the trans movement that we have right now.
Right.
You know, it's all lives matter. A person is a person, no matter what your preference is, no matter what your color is, you're still a person.
I think what they're, yeah, and I hear you loud and clear. I think the big message here that those individuals are speaking for is saying, I matter. I want you to take me into account. I want to have a seat at the table. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. You know, and one of the things that really strikes a nerve with me is that those things are valid.
Mm-hmm.
They're valid, very valid.
Of course.
However, the approach and the how they get to getting that message out can be rethought, I feel. What ends up happening is that when a message is so far gone where it's being forced on you, so to speak,
yes,
it becomes an issue.
It's even in Disney. You watch Disney movies and the message is there. So something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. And, you know, it just takes somebody to come out and say it. I used to think Kanye was crazy.
Uh-huh.
Kanye's not crazy.
Do you think Kanye is crazy? You don't think Kanye is crazy?
No, I do not think Kanye is crazy because, and you know,
he's saying some stuff out of left field and out of right field.
Well, when he said slavery was a choice, he's not talking about African American slavery coming over here. I'm an up and coming rapper. I want to make it, right? So you sign this contract to this person, say, $200 million. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sign this contract, but you can't say this. you can't do this, you can't do that. I own you.
Okay.
They own your masters. They own your music. They own your image. You're going to wear what I want you to wear. Prada, Gucci, Fenty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's slavery that you're signing yourself over to.
Hold on. You said Fenty and not Fendi. Is there a reason why you said Fenty and not Fendi?
I guess that's the way I've heard it, I guess. But you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, no. I mean, hold on. You struck a nerve there. I mean, yes, the brand is Fendi, but Fenty, I think.
Slang? Is it slang?
It might be slang, because what's the drug right now that is making its way across America?
Fentanyl. Absolutely. And you know what? That's a great topic, because the late rapper DMX, let's take for example, you know, I'm pretty sure he didn't mess with fentanyl, or if he did, you know, I understand why. But there's so many people that are hungry for it. But right now there's a war against drugs in America.
Well, there's always been a war against drugs.
Not like now. Like now.
Okay, hold on. Let's rewind. I just recently had a guest, and we were talking about this war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Who funds the wars in other countries?
Oh, my God. This is a good topic. What happened in the Boston Tea Party?
What happened in the Boston
Tea Party? I'm educated. I know you're educated. No taxation without representation.
Right.
I do believe that the government that we serve right now is wrong. And you know, it takes people like Kanye, people, for example, let's just leave it at that. People need to start stepping up for themselves and saying, you know what, maybe I'm not being represented the right way anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, where are my tax dollars? Where are they going?
Where are they going? Right.
They're going to the Taliban when they leave the weapons over there. Uh-huh. They're going to the illegal immigrants that come over here. And, you know, I'm going to say this right now. My grandfather was from Mexico, but he did it the right way. Mm-hmm. He applied for his citizenship, and he came over here.
Right.
Got married with an American woman, and he did it the right way. He didn't just say, I'm here. What are you going to do with me now?
Right.
How do you know where your tax dollar goes?
That's a great
question. You don't know where it goes. It's funding the war in Ukraine, because we've sent them a lot of weapons.
Okay.
We've sent Ukraine a lot of weapons. We left a lot of weapons for the Taliban. We're taking people from other countries. And where do you think the money comes from? It's your tax dollar. It's the, you know what? And talking about taxes, I go to the store. Every dollar I spend, how many cents go in taxes? Josabeth.
How many cents go into taxes?
Yes, per dollar that I spend.
In Texas, you're spending 8 1/4.
You're spending 8 cents per dollar
in taxes. And in some places, high impoverished areas, they spend 6 1/4.
Yeah.
Because they feel that they don't want to be taxed as high.
Pull up the population of the United States as it is right now.
Okay, hold on, give me a second.
Mm-hmm. Of the whole United States, everybody.
I mean, currently where we stand, give me a second here. Let me look into this real quick.
Yeah, and this is a valid question. It's a good topic. Real good topic.
Global population growth is slowing down. Here's one reason why. In 2022, the world's population hit the 8 billion mark, but such milestones could top out by the end of the century.
But how many people do we have in the United States right now?
Let me see here. On November the 15th, as estimated by demographers, the count of humans on the planet reached 8 billion. Population growth has been steady over the past few decades, with billion-person marks coming every dozen years or so. But that pattern is changing. Growth is beginning to slow, and experts predict the world population would top out sometimes in the 2080s at about 10.4 billion. The question is, how much in the United States?
Because the system's rigged, and I'm going to show you how. Huh.
You The United States' longstanding economic exceptionalism will fade as the 21st century wears on, Goldman Sachs economists predicted Tuesday in a wide-sweeping outlook for the global economy, which also outlined the greatest threats to growth worldwide. The U.S. currently has the largest economy in the world by far, with $23 trillion in 2021. I'm looking for population.
Yeah, that money doesn't exist. That we keep printing money and it doesn't exist. The reason why it costs more for you to go to the store and buy food is because we keep printing money and giving it away for free. And where are you getting that money from? Nowhere. Mm-hmm. That's why some people believe in cryptocurrency.
What's been going on with cryptocurrency, man? It's been, honestly, has it been tanking? Has it? It's at 17 grand right now at Bitcoin.
You know, it's almost like the government got mad that we were doing crypto because they made all these problems with China and Russia, and now I think it did tank for a bit.
The regulation.
Yeah, because now you can't use it to buy stuff from China anymore, mm-hmm. You know? But, I mean, if you really had that much of a problem with China, why would you send so much of your money over there? Why would you send your companies over there to begin with? Mm-hmm. Now, the point that I was trying to make about the population, let's say that out of those 8 billion people, 2 billion is us. Mm-hmm. 2 billion is the United States. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. If you got 8 cents from 2 billion people, how much money would you have? Ooh. Oh, yeah. Okay, now look at the bigger picture. You do that to me every day when I'm at the store.
Yeah.
Every dollar I spend, you take it to 8 cents from me. So then why am I in a deficit? Why is our country in a deficit if you take 8 cents from every dollar that I spend? Where does it go? Mm-hmm. Where does it go? Now, also, the lottery.
Hold on.
We're taxing. We're talking about taxes.
Yes. And let's stay on the focus. Before we go into lottery, let's continue talking about taxes, because I want to give my viewpoint as far as what taxes do.
Okay.
Ideally,
they're lining their pockets.
Well, hold on. They're lining their pockets. And when you say they, you're talking about, I would imagine, the upper echelon.
Politicians, Democrats, Republicans, lawmakers.
Gotcha. Okay. I want to be very clear. Now, what I'm saying here is that, you know, there's I would like to believe that it is my duty as a parent,
okay,
to ensure that my children grow up and be respectful citizens of this world.
Yes.
And be taxpayers.
That's one out of how many people?
Hold on. The reason why I would like for them to be taxpayers is because the ideal view of what I understand taxes are used for, mm-hmm, is to pave our roads, build our hospitals, build our infrastructure, you know, continuously have good schools, okay, you know, be able to have these necessities that human beings should have or to have. That's the purpose and the reason why taxes should be paid locally, state, yes,
but
and federally.
But you should know where your money's going. We don't know where our money's going anymore.
Okay, now I get a statement, mm-hmm, every single month, every single year, on where my taxes are going, on what I pay into.
And what does it tell you?
My schools, my city, my, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, but
I'm going to be honest with you.
But
I don't pay taxes.
Why?
I don't.
Why?
Why? Because the system is so corrupt, to the point where I'm paying child support for a son that I've been supporting for 12 years.
Okay.
So I don't get an income tax, right? Okay. Every income tax, I see everybody spending their money.
You're talking about an income tax return.
Income tax return, yes. Okay. I don't get to spend that. I haven't made that since 2013.
Okay.
So in my eyes,
part of that has to do that we have to.
Yeah, they have to take it back from medical and all that stuff.
You have to be employed.
Yeah, no. I was employed the whole time.
Okay.
I chose not to pay, and I work here in the Valley. Sometimes your employer doesn't report that you're working for them until the end of the year when the W-2 goes out.
Okay.
So as soon as the W-2 would go out, I'm gone. I'll find another job. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I wasn't going to pay for a son that I'm supporting the whole time. Mm-hmm. But the system doesn't know that. You know, I've already called and told them about it. They just said, make sure you know you're making your payments.
So now you're talking about the bureaucracy. You're talking about the bureaucracy.
Taxation without representation. Yeah, yeah, they're taking money from me left and right. You know, your tax dollars.
Oh, trust me. I'm telling you, I've felt that. I've done that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
We're still in a deficit, and there's no there's no reason we should be in a deficit. Now, I've worked for refineries in Houston, and a lot of them are German-owned. A lot of them are owned by people who aren't United States citizens.
Okay.
So, COVID hits. You know, I'm all for getting vaccinated if you have a weak immune system, if you're an older person, you know, but if you're young, you know, that's your choice. Mm-hmm. But if the government is going to take out this loan to get free vaccines for people, that money is still going somewhere. Right. Who owns these companies? The pharmacy.
The cloud.
Yeah, the cloud. Your money is being siphoned out right in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
Look over here.
There's a valid point to all that.
And sometimes it's always about misdirection. Always about misdirection. Pay attention to this. We're going to give focus to this while we're robbing you right in your face. And I'm tired of that. You know, I'm honestly tired of that because me, as a person who has struggled his whole life, trying to get somewhere for myself. Sometimes it's like, why? You know, or let me give an example. Hunger. Mm-hmm. Hunger should not be an issue. It shouldn't. Mm-hmm. You see a hungry kid on the street, feed him. Mm-hmm. A person's hungry, feed him. And then you have those commercials that come out on TV. Hey, for 19 cents a day, you could help this kid. You know, for so much money a month, you could help this kid. Why? Why do I have to give you my money so that you can help this kid? He's hungry. Feed him.
Yeah.
There is no reason why that. And, you know, if I got the platform that I'm seeking, that I want to make a program. I want to make a program where, and, you know, I'm pretty sure a bunch of people would jump on it. In my younger years, I worked for the fast food industry. I worked for the food industry. If you only knew how much food we throw away every single day. Oh, every single day.
Oh, no, no doubt, no doubt. Yeah. There's definitely a lot of food that is getting thrown out.
And you know what? It's a loss. Yeah. They write it off as a loss.
Hey, check this out. Minneapolis nonprofit argues the state arbitrarily rejected it from meal program due to separate fraud. The Minnesota Department of Education rejected Gargar Family Services from a federally funded meal program in December 2021, 1 month before the FBI's investigation into Feeding Our Future became public.
And that's because you don't know where your money's going.
A Minneapolis nonprofit argued Thursday that it's been being unfairly scrutinized in light of the massive Feeding Our Future fraud investigation and was arbitrarily denied the chance to serve meals to children in need. Gargar Family Services asked the Minnesota Court of Appeals to reverse the state's decision, preventing it from participating in federally funded meal programs. The organization argued that the State Department of Education rushed to take action because of the Feeding Our Future scandal. This case is not feeding our future, Gargar's attorney Barbara Behrens told the three-judge panel. The concern that we have expressed is that this case is being confused with other sponsors who allegedly have engaged in substantial misconduct. Behrens and the Education Department attorney, Christine Nogasek, made their cases to the appeals court, which now has 90 days to decide whether to reverse or uphold the Education Department's denial of Gargar's program application. The department rejected the application a year ago, 1 month before the FBI fraud investigation centering on Feeding Our Future became public. So far, 50 people connected to Feeding Our Future have been charged in what prosecutors say is the largest pandemic-related fraud case in the nation. The scandal involved more than $250 million in taxpayer dollars, most of which they say was spent on luxury houses and other goods,
not food. You see? And you know what? If I do get to where I dream to be, I want to make a program to the point where homeless people, they're digging through the trash anyways. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, before you throw that food away at that restaurant, let's say I could get Olive Garden, Red Lobster, big names. You put them on the spot. Mm-hmm. You put them on the spot, they're going to have no choice but to bend over. You know, at the end of the day, give me your food. But in order to get this food, you're going to clean the streets. You're already digging through the trash. At least make it beautiful. You know, I've lived in the Valley and I've lived in Houston. There's trash everywhere.
Oh, no doubt.
There's trash everywhere. Yeah. And sometimes they make prisoners do it. Mm-hmm. But let's say this. Homeless people, you're going to dig through the trash anyways. I've been there, done that. Pick up the trash, make the street look nice. You know, you bring your form or whatever, however the program works, you mm-hmm. bring it at the end of the day and you get your meal. Mm-hmm. You get your meal. You'll eat today. You know, there's no reason why people should be digging through trash just for food. And so, what could that restaurant do?
So
write it off as charity.
So what you're saying is, help us beautify the community
at the same time.
While I feed you,
and the restaurant writes it off as charity.
And how do we?
And help? You could get 100% of your food. Imagine.
And how do we help them gain employment?
Well, if they're good enough, you could hire them. You could hire them, give them a job, or that could be their job. You never know. But there's no reason why we should throw that food away. And if they help us beautify America, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not?
It's a good cause.
Yeah, it's a good cause. And it goes back to, like, the industry. Sometimes I get so sick about seeing, like, and I'm going to say it. I really don't care because I'm nobody right now. And by the way, that's my new name, my new rap name, Nobody. Because even if I made it, I'd be nobody. Little Pump. Little Pump comes out and says, I don't need a job. I don't need school. I could do this and that. People are soaking that up like a sponge. All these rappers, I got a house on my wrist and I got a house on my neck. And people are sleeping on the street. Why? Why do you have a house on your neck? Why do you got a car on your wrist when people are taking the bus to go to work just to try to afford an apartment?
Because they can. I think that's what ends up happening, that, like, the American dream is, if you hustle hard enough, if you do what you got to do in order to make a buck, you'll make the buck and you won't be capped.
Slavery. You're in slavery. Because look up the 5 richest people in the world, mm-hmm. and none of them have degrees. None of them are doctors or lawyers.
The 5 richest
Jeff people. Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, you got Elon Musk. They're not doctors. Mm-hmm. They're free thinkers. Mm-hmm. They're free thinkers. When slavery ended, and I'm going to bring up the topic. When slavery ended, what do you think all those lawmakers said? Man, how are we going to maintain control without them knowing it? And they've done a pretty good job of it. They've done a pretty good job of it. And, you know, I really do think that it's the Hispanic and the Black community are the ones that kill each other the most. The ones that are involved in all the drug trafficking while everybody else sits back and watches. And it's sad. Mm-hmm. It's sad that this is what we're forced to do because you don't even want to pay us a decent buck to do a job. Me, personally, I have to risk my life working inside of a bomb to even think about, you know, making the type of money that I want to make. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have a lot of kids that never even get that chance because they're stuck in the trap. They're stuck in the ghetto, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all segregation from the start. Slavery ended, and everybody that was a lawmaker in that room, I guarantee you, was white. Well, I guarantee you, it was white.
I'll tell you this much: you hit a topic right there that got me thinking, and you said it's been since the start, right? Okay. At the age of 3, at the age of 4, you're a preschooler,
mm-hmm.
and when you're a preschooler, you are barely going into the school system, and once you get into the school system, they still want to know, can you read, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read? Can you write? Okay. Well, we found out that, yes, you can read. Yes, you can write. But, hey, your partners can't. So let's work with them a little bit more. Let's work with them, right? Hey, you like to dance. You like to sing. You might be gifted. You might be gifted. So let's put you with all those other kids over there that are also wanting to read, that are also wanting to dance, that are also wanting to sing. And now you've already segregated these kids from the general population. And who's getting left behind? The ones that can't read, right? And we dig a little bit deeper. And now we start grouping them in as per abilities, right?
Yeah. It's all about numbers. That was your GPA.
That
number, you don't got a high GPA.
Numbers, and let me go a little step further. Numbers that are tied to money,
and names with that. If you come from a wealthy family, you probably won't have to struggle.
Right.
But you got people that are like, man, if I don't make it in sports, if I don't make it singing,
right,
I'm never gonna make it. If I don't, and then you, those are the same, I guess that's the youth that I'm talking about that get trapped.
But that's going back to what we talked about earlier. That's the age we're living in now. Mm-hmm. Because now the age we're living in, social media has been created. All the computers in the world have been created. All the PlayStations and all that stuff has been created. What now? Content creation. Views, likes, monetization of views and likes. YouTube, you get 100,000 views and you get paid, right? Like, yeah, like
that. Like you could be famous overnight.
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 So all of these, now these individuals are wanting to create. That's where you're at right now, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, you put yourself in a position, I think, where somebody wants to benefit off of you. Okay. You know, you're a content creator. Let's take the Island Boys. Those dudes had like their 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah.
Somebody made money off of that. Somebody made money off of those idiots. You know, they got a presence on social media. They got something that blew up for 10 seconds. Somebody still made money off of that. More money than they did.
Right.
And it's just so sad that you're going to manipulate the youth like that. And going back to the topic of Kanye, or going back to the topic of the industry, sometimes you don't pay attention to what you're signing. I've been taking an L for 29 years. So you think when somebody offers me a $200 million deal, $100 million deal, I'm not going to read through it. I'm tired of being there. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of being struggling. I'm tired of not having to worry about bills, working bullshit jobs just to make ends meet, while I see these little kids like the Island Boys with stacks of money and flexing online, you know, and they haven't had to go through a goddamn thing. And I've been struggling my whole life. So it's like, I'm not going to read it. But if you were to read it, you would find out it's a loan. It's a loan that you have to pay back with interest, and they own you. They own you until you're out of it. So Kanye signs these deals, but they owned him. Mm-hmm. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can't say Jesus. And all glory to God, he needs to come first. Mm-hmm. So what did Kanye do? And at first I thought, what is he doing? He's saying it out loud. He has that platform. He went on several podcasts and said it. He got himself out of the trap. They had trapped him to the point where he said he felt like he was in a glass cell.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I read what you're talking about, and apparently nobody wanted to work with him now, so they drop him.
He don't need them.
And he laughs and he says, "Hey, I'm free.
I'm free. Yeah, I'm free." Because you know, you never really know, and you know, it gets a lot deeper and darker. I'm not there yet, but I'm pretty sure that there's other things that happen in Hollywood and in the industry that we don't know about, you know, selling your soul and stuff like that, you know, topics like that.
The Illuminati,
and, you know, money and this and that, but you can't sell what's yours.
But it's not yours. It's all done in the purpose of fear, instilling fear into individuals so that we can have control.
Not only that, but you get somebody who has talent.
Uh-huh.
He's had to struggle his whole life in the trap, selling drugs. He's been shot at. He shot people. He's done this. He's done that. He's hungry. Mm-hmm. He's hungry. And people are making money off of that. NBA Youngboy. NBA Youngboy, he's the number one streamed artist right now, highest paid artist and all that stuff.
Hold on. Before you go into NBA Youngboy, what was the purpose of Lil Pump that he's just flexing without making it?
The reason why I brought up Lil Pump was because he has the platform and he's doing nothing with it. I like his music. Don't get me wrong. But every time I hear his music, or let's bring up Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD supposedly helped a lot of people.
I've never heard of any of these guys. Like,
I've never heard Juice WRLD.
No. Okay, hold on. Let me take that back. I've heard the names. I've never heard any of their songs.
Juice WRLD was great. The dude could sing, and he had the topics to talk about, but every song that you hear is a cry for help. The dude says, I'm going to die off of these pills. Mm. And instead of somebody stopping and helping him, they let him die off of those pills.
Well, okay, hold on.
He did it to himself.
Absolutely.
He did it to himself. But it was still a cry for help.
Agreed.
It was still a cry for help.
If you had heard this, mm-hmm. how are you going to help him? You're here. He's there. That's what I'm saying.
At the time.
Are you talking about like his inner circle?
Yes. His inner circle could have helped him.
Gotcha.
It's the same thing as Mac Miller. Mac Miller overdosed and there was people in the room. There was people in the room that saw him start losing consciousness, this and that. Mm-hmm. I think his manager was there. This is your artist, you know? Mm-hmm. If you know your artist is on opiates, carry Narcan with you. He starts ODing, bring him back. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You know, he's worth more dead than alive, probably. But these artists, sometimes, you know, it's either you die trying to get there or you get there and you die.
This guy, Lil Pump, is a Mexican?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of the Hispanics to get on the map.
Gazzy Garcia.
Yeah.
Known professionally as Lil Pump, is an American rapper.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the most prominent members of the SoundCloud rap scene and is known for his minimalist music and hyperactive public persona, where he is often portrayed taking drugs such as marijuana, lean, and Xanax. Actions that have garnered controversy.
You know, and it's sad because these new kids, that's all they're promoting, drug use. And I took the passing, I think I talked about DMX earlier, but let me tell you why I took it so to heart.
DMX. That's my boy, man.
Man, DMX, I took it really to the heart. I cried. Mm-hmm. And I'll still cry when I hear his music. I relate a lot to him. Mm-hmm. He lost the battle against drug addiction.
Yeah.
He and his music, he put his heart into the music. Some people make music to make money. But his heart was behind every track that he made.
Well, I mean, he had been putting on his religious views into CDs for the longest time. You know, there, unless you look into it, unless you do your own research, you don't know what any of that means. You don't know what Exodus means if you've never read a Bible.
Yeah, of course. All right. Have you seen his interviews with Xavier?
Not with Xavier, but I've seen his documentaries.
Okay, this is why it hit close to home. Because he had a bad relationship with his oldest son, Xavier. I believe it's his oldest.
Yeah.
And I've seen them on a couple of talk shows where Xavier's telling him, you know, stop doing drugs and we can be this, father-son thing. Mm-hmm. And what DMX tells him is, I was getting high before you was born, you know. Mm-hmm. The battle that he was fighting was long before Xavier even was here.
Right.
And then he said, "If you're gonna put conditions on our love, then I don't need it. Mm-hmm. Unconditional love,
well,
is without condition. If I love you, I love you no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter your actions. It's unconditional." If you're going to put a condition on that, then you don't really love me. Mm-hmm. And you know, that guy had so much heart behind him. That guy had so much potential. But God gives gifts and he takes them away. Mm-hmm. I heard his last album, Exodus.
Oh, and that's what I want to put on for a second. I want to put in...
It was horrible.
The song he wrote to his son. Check this one out. I love this one.
Yeah, my bad, but it was horrible. This is the one, Call Your Dad, right?
Oh, man.
Oh. It was a good one. Okay, this is a good one.
That's the only song I love out of
this. Is one
yeah,
of
the
those,
whole thing, I agree with you. It's horrible. You know, but this song right here.
But I'll tell you why right now.
Dear son, look in your eyes and see my own. You look in my eyes and see my throne. Many times I tried to talk to explain to you. See, it didn't mean a thing. Love you, but right now I wanna bite you. Wanna give you a hug, but I might bite you. Might be a man about it, we can admit when we're wrong. Come on! Get off that kid shit you are. You didn't pay attention, you just saw it coming. But you a man looking through the eyes of a woman. Always don't love your mama, we just always drifted apart. My kids, y'all my heart. And you got more brothers and sisters just cause I got more kids. And hey, it's just what it is. You're the oldest, I've known you longer, but I don't love them less. Had to get that off my chest. And I don't know what you thought about my use of drugs. Taught you enough to not use the drugs. When you were a kid, you played with toys, okay. But you a man, put them toys away. But I'm saying is stop thinking like a child. Cause what if it's when I'm gone? That you realize you're wrong. That we could have been best of friends all along. And it was time to defeat the purpose of this song. 917-915-4804. Give me a call. I love you, boy. That's the truth.
Yeah, I miss that guy, honestly. And you know what? I could tell he was really strung out on drugs on his last album.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me sad, because somebody had to be around him.
Yeah.
He must have reached out to somebody. DMX should be here.
Yeah.
He should. And honestly, that guy put his heart into everything.
Oh, he was on another level. I mean, when he was blowing up, you're talking about.
You were there. You were there.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, the guy was on everything. Ja was getting on him. Jay-Z was trying to get him on. Swizz Beatz was on, you know. And then he goes out and creates his own deal and has Rough Riders Records.
Yeah.
I mean, and now he's bringing on Eve.
He's one of the greatest, honestly.
No doubt. Because he had his own video game.
I had seen this. They're all sitting in barber chairs. There's some people talking on a podcast or whatever.
Okay.
And they're talking about, Jay-Z's talking about how DMX came out after him and it was hard to top. The difference between Jay-Z and DMX is that Jay-Z does his music and he does what he does for money. Mm-hmm. DMX can give a fuck about that.
Right.
He put his heart behind it. DMX is way better than Jay-Z will ever be on the track. But Jay-Z makes his power moves and he makes these deals and, you know, he's rich and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a mogul.
But if I was to be locked in the cell for the rest of my life, I would choose the DMX CD over the Jay-Z one.
I'll tell you this much. I will concur on that as well, man. I mean, DMX greater than Jay-Z in my
opinion. And I really felt bad when he passed. It really hit close to home because...
Well, it all goes back to what we're talking about. I mean, he was straying away from God. He was on the up and up with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's missing his children. Obviously, he's got a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah, and right now, and I actually have a problem. Not a problem, I want per se, but I don't have the best relationship with my oldest. Mm-hmm. I love him to death. I'll do anything for him. Mm-hmm. I'd kill for him. But a lot of it has to do with his mother. And I think, you know, a lot of times nowadays, the father figure is missing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people forgot about what the father is supposed to represent in the home.
What is the father supposed to represent?
The father is supposed to be the one who goes and gets the bread, comes home. The woman is not supposed to try to be their equal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not supposed to be that way. Because
as to whose standards?
Well, feminism nowadays is changing.
That's what I'm saying.
Feminism right now is changing, and people need to know what it is to be a man. You know, when I was small, my grandfather would tell me, stop being a bitch. stop being a little girl. And you know what? It just made me get harder. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's like, oh, it's okay, this and that. They baby the shit out these little kids. They honestly do. And it's sad to say, but our kids are getting soft. Our kids are getting soft, and we're to the point of no return already. Well,
and again, I'm going to push back on a little bit of some of that because I'm a father too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to push back in the sense that I know what it's like to be, raised hard. However, I think where we're at right now is we want to be heard. We want to be listened to. Like, we don't have to do corporal punishment all day, every day. We can have a discussion. We can talk about right and wrong. We can talk about, what's in our best interest, what's going to help you long term. I think if we sit down and we start educating our individuals that need education, I think everybody deserves education a little bit more than others. But one of the things that we need to address in our communities is, what are we doing for individuals who feel like they are trapped, feel like they have no understanding of how to better themselves, for whatever the case might be? And a lot of it has to deal with, let's educate you on how to start a business. Let's educate you on how to be a father. Let's educate you on how to do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm talking about. I feel that is missing quite often.
You know, but going back to what I said, it starts with being the father. It starts with being a father, and there's so many cycles right now that are being broken. Let's say the way things were when you grew up. You grew up, your era is the what, the 80s?
My era is the 90s. Actually, yeah, the
90s. No. But you were born in what year?
83.
Okay. 80s. 80s is your era.
No. I didn't live it. I was a child in the 80s. I was living in the 90s.
Okay, let's say from 2010 and on, you know how many people are going to grow up without a dad and a mom because of the music that they're putting out right now?
I don't think it's because of the music. I'm going to push back. I don't think it's the music.
No, sir. Every time I hear a song, sometimes, I don't know. Let's say drill music, for example. I won't be mad at anybody, but drill music makes me want to go get my gun and shoot somebody.
Okay.
So imagine how many lives are going to be affected.
Imagine if you didn't listen to drill music.
But everybody listens to drill music. It's all over the place.
We can't generalize. That's the thing. And that's why I push back. No. That's why I push back, because generalizing is what gets us into problems. Oftentimes, remember when I told you on how we're going to roll out and how we're going to address certain topics of conversation, social issues, like, we're not going to say that everybody supports the left and that everybody supports the right. We're going to say there's pockets of people who support the left. There's pockets of people that support the right. There's pockets of people that are centered. Now,
so let's narrow it down then.
Yeah, so let's make it simple.
So after, give me something after binomial. After the trap music, after the music changed to, Dear Mama, from Tupac to I'm going to spin the block and I'm going to shoot somebody.
The block is hot.
How many more deaths, gun deaths have come up. School shootings have gone up. I can't even send my kids to school feeling safe anymore. I send my kids to school with a cell phone. And as soon as you call me, I'm going to grab my gun and I'm going to the school. What's the name of that school that they didn't let the parents go in and they hesitated to go into the door, Theo? I know you.
Uvalde.
Best believe if I was there in Uvalde, I don't give a shit. If you're in my way, I'm going to move you out the way. If you're a cop, I'm gonna pretend like you don't have a badge. That's not going to happen to me. That's not going to happen to my kids. And if it does, that's what's wrong with society, though. And you're not going to tell me that all came out of nowhere. It didn't come out of nowhere. It came from this same venom, the same poison that they're filling our kids with. They are. And you know what? I think this way. I'm a killer. I believe I am. And that's because I just grew up listening to Tupac, Biggie, and Eminem.
All right, here we go. Mass shootings since 2014.
Okay, America. That sounds about the same time Trap came out. Okay.
2014, 269. 2015, 335. Uh-huh. 2016, 382. Goddamn. 2017, 346. 2018, 336. 2019, 417. 2020, 611.
After the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because the pandemic drove people crazy. And you know what? Right now, for those of you listening, right now I'm fighting a gun case. Right now I'm fighting a gun case. And you know what? I will not, you will not catch me anywhere without a gun. Unless I actually trust you, unless I know you, you will not catch me without a gun. Because I've seen my neighbor get killed. I have 7 friends in the dirt. And I have another 6. I have another 6 or 7 in jail for murder that are never going to be able to see the light of day. It's a crazy world. And I tell my son all the time, this world is not a nice place. And it's getting even uglier. And sadly, one day I'm not going to be there. But you know what? You will not catch me without a weapon.
Well, let's stop. Let's go back to what we're talking about here now. Okay, so you and your son.
Mm-hmm.
When your son was born.
Yes.
My question to you is, what did you most want for your child?
Honestly?
Yeah.
I wanted for him to be nothing like me. Because I didn't have my father there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I used to say that I wouldn't care if my dad was a crackhead as long as he was there, mm-hmm. you know, but you know what? There's a reason he wasn't there. And honestly, I've caused my son a lot of damage. I love my son. You know, he's my junior. He was my firstborn. Was I ready to be a dad? No. Mm-hmm. But the most thing that I wanted for him was to be nothing like me.
Okay.
Yeah. When he was small, I think I was heaviest on drugs. And, you know, sometimes it's really sad when you think a child's going to change you, you know, like just because you have a child doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so sad that some people get stuck in that lifestyle that you would rather be high somewhere else than be with your child. You know, I didn't really change until after my daughter. My daughter just turned 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I still slip? Yes.
You're human.
I'm human.
Right.
And you know what? It's a lot to do with society, and it starts with your father. Mm-hmm. You know, if dads need to stay there. You know, a dad is important.
Yeah.
A mother can only do so much. And sometimes all your mother fills you with is poison. You know, sad
mm-hmm.
to say.
Mm-hmm.
But a father is very important. And, you know, looking back, I'm going to put this on the record, though. If I could change it all, I wouldn't change a thing. Mm-hmm. Never would I change anything. Mm-hmm. Because it didn't make me weaker. It made me stronger. I'm weak-minded only when it comes to substance abuse. Other than that, though, I'm about as hard as concrete. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Nothing affects me. And I feel like I'm ready.
You're a reader, aren't you?
I read a lot. Yeah. I do, you know.
What are you reading right now?
Right now, I can honestly say that I haven't read anything in a while because of audiobooks, and I've been real busy working.
Oh no, that's how I read too, man. I read through audiobooks.
But let me tell you, like,
I don't have time to pick up a book and read page by page.
No, but
I
read through audiobooks. Let me tell you my favorite book though.
Okay.
Let me look up the author. I believe. Let me see. It's a book called On the Beach. And in this book, it talks about nuclear warfare. And we're about there. It's called On the Beach. It wasn't written in the 90s or 2000s. It was probably in the 80s. But I picked up the book by random one day when I was in the library at the jail. And when I was in jail, I didn't fuck with nobody. I would wake up to get my tray, go right back to my bunk. I didn't join no gangs. I didn't do nothing like that. I stayed to myself. So I read books. Mm-hmm. One day I go to the library and there's a book called On the Beach. Mm-hmm. I grab it. I take it back to my cell. And it's a book about nuclear war breaks out. And a part of the hemisphere isn't affected yet because of the wind patterns. So little by little, the wind patterns are bringing the radiation to this part of the world. And it's about what are you going to do with the last of your time. Some people, they went to work. Some people partied. You know, it's a book about what you're going to do with the last of your time.
Choices.
Choices, 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 choices. It's always a choice. And right now, I believe that the world is straying from God and it's their choice. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff that's being put out and forced upon our youth is very detrimental to us and you know, our us Christians that believe in God and believe that he's coming back soon. Mm-hmm. I know he is. You know, congrats on Lil Nas X for his fame and everything like that. But when you have people like that pushing out messages the way that he is, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong. And, you know, at the end of times, people are going to be running in that church and it's going to be too long. It's going to be too late. Mm-hmm. Way too late. Way too late. And I do honestly believe that we're close. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll get to see it, but maybe my kids. But
have you seen that movie on Netflix called Don't Look Up?
Yes. Yes, I have.
A very similar situation as On the Beach, right? What are you going to do? It's coming. What are you going to do?
Honestly, if I knew the world was going to end and the asteroid was heading towards Earth, I spend all the time with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And my son. That little girl has changed my view on life. You know, there's something so innocent about the small child, the human. She doesn't lie to me. A child doesn't know how to lie to you. Mm-hmm. And she worries about me. She's always thinking about me. Mm-hmm. There's something about that little girl that just calls out to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess she's a lot like me. My grandmother just passed. And it was a really hard thing because she had dementia for, I want to say, about 15 years. Mm-hmm. And towards the end, she couldn't swallow anymore. Mm-hmm. They had to take out the tubes. They couldn't feed her no more. And they said, we could intubate her, but that's up to you. I said, no. Mm-hmm. So she slowly drifted away. But, you know, I had to stare at her in the eyes. Not because I had to, but because I wanted her to know that she wasn't alone. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of times people die alone. Mm-hmm. You know, the world cares about you when you're there, or people care about you when you're doing something for them. But who's going to be there for you in the last moment?
Last moment, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I believe that little girl's going to be there for me in my last moments. I love that little girl.
Yeah.
I really do. And, you know, I try to do as much as I can for her and my son as well. But like I said, me and my son don't have the best relationship. But at least I broke the cycle.
Yeah.
At least I broke the cycle because...
You told me that you and your brother had this pact about being the best fathers for each other, for your kids.
Oh, right? Man. And that is the only reason why we're still there.
Yeah.
I can remember...
Y'all can go through fights and everything, but still... Find a way to come back, huh?
My brother is everything to me. He's the yin to my gang. And I guarantee you I'm the black side.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we told each other we were less than 10 years old. We said, you know what? We're not going to be like our dad. We're going to be there for our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and we haven't walked away. We haven't. And I even have a daughter in Iowa. I just paid $200 last month, mm-hmm, to take the DNA test. I'm just waiting on them to swab her. And I have a sister lost in the system. I do. And all I hear is excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. But I found mine. You know, I'm going to do what I can to find mine and do what I can for mine. Mm-hmm. So if I can do it, he can do it too. Hopefully one day I'll find my sister before it's too late. I'm barely gonna get to talk to my daughter. She's gonna turn 12 in April, and I've never talked to her before, and this is gonna be my first time talking to her. And I've had a lot of near death experiences, but I want her to know that I've always wanted to be a part of her life, and I'm still here. You know, I'm still alive. While you're alive, you have a choice. You have a choice.
You said a beautiful thing earlier when you called, and you said, I want to be able to tell people that I love them.
Oh, now, yeah. While they're here. You know,
I heard you went to my mom's house, and you went and gave them some flowers and stuff. Oh,
yeah, and you know what? But I didn't get it till later. Yeah. Some people never get it, you know, but I was so tired at that time of not being able to talk to a side of the family because of one certain person.
One narrative.
And you know what? I could tell you right now, my biological father, he doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. He hates it when I'm there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe that makes me want to go more on purpose. But today is December 7th. My grandmother, Aida Benitez, this was her birthday today. So this is the second Mother's Day for me. Mm-hmm. So her birthday and Mother's Day are two Mother's Day for me.
Gotcha.
So I made it a point to call everybody that I see as a mother figure, you know, now, because life's so short.
Yeah.
Life's so short.
I feel like you were 12 years old yesterday and then you were a baby before that.
Yeah.
Now you're how old?
29.
Wow.
29.
I'm 39.
I'm not gonna live that much longer, but I want to make a difference while I'm here.
Yeah.
Honestly, because I got handed a shitty hand. Mm-hmm. A short end of the stick. I do have people that love me. Shout out, Josabud. I have people that love me. But the damage is done sometimes. Sometimes, you know, people don't understand. Who said it? I can't remember the exact thing.
Okay, well.
But there was somebody who said, and I believe it's DMX, about the poison that we feed our kids. You know, that killer wouldn't have killed that person if you were just there. Mm-hmm. That person wouldn't be that person if you were just there. A dog is a beautiful thing. He'll be by your side. He won't bite you. He'll fight to the death, and he'll love you. Mm-hmm. But you put that dog inside of a cage, and you don't feed him for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. See what happens to that dog. Mm-hmm. See what happens to anything that you put inside of that cage. He'll tear it apart. So, you know, it all depends on how you treat the animal as well. And sad to say that I grew up like that, you know. My dad left me with my mentally ill mom. Shout out, mama. But my grandfather was institutionalized already. He had done 12 years. Mm-hmm. He kept his mouth shut. He did what he had to do and he came home. But by the time he came home, he had so much anger inside of him that I was the closest thing to him. And you put so much hate in my heart. It's kind of hard to put that piece of you to the side. Mm-hmm. And that's why I know that the rap and the music that they're putting into people's hearts nowadays, I know what it's going to become. I know what it can turn into. You know, I've been there, done that, you know, and there was a piece of me, honestly, that understood why some kids kill their parents, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you're supposed to protect me, you know. It all starts with your parents. Mm-hmm. And I've had to suppress a lot of my feelings as well.
You compartmentalized.
Yeah. And you know, and I believe God is the only reason why, and God knows why. I know you know my dad. I know that he's told you about when I showed up to his house with a gun. And could I have blasted him that day? Yeah. But I didn't. It's all about the choices, like you said. Choices that you make. And a lot of people like me, they don't make it to the point that they want to make it to. If I actually got the platform, I think I could do so much good. You know, I think I could do so much more with what I have to say. And people might hear this later. Post is posthumous, right? Mm-hmm. You know, after I die. And, you know, some people hear me now and I feel like they don't hear me. And it's like,
Everything is perception, 100%.
Yeah.
Like it's how you're viewing your world is how you're viewing the world. And, you know, oftentimes one of the things that has helped me tremendously is staying busy, trying to stay busy. Okay. You know, once you're by yourself and once you're doing things and you're in a rut and you're in a cycle, man, the mind will go into dark places 100%.
I hate myself. And sometimes you can't get away from yourself. Mm-hmm. I understand what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the one person you dislike the most, you can't get away from.
Right.
Yeah. So it's always, you have to learn how to live with yourself. But going back to the topic, fathers are important. So I've tried to stay there for my kids. I love my son. I've even reached out to my father. I've reached out to him. He doesn't want it. That's fine. You know, I've already done it without him.
All right. So moving forward, I mean,
moving forward.
What are you doing for you?
Right now, yeah. Honestly, I'm trying to find a way to leave my kids some money. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to leave a house for my kids. Nobody was there giving me direction mm-hmm. growing up. So I was always in the streets.
So what do you tell an 8-year-old right now? What do you tell a 12-year-old right now?
I would love to tell them to stay in school. But what I tell an 8 and a 10-year-old right now is to find out what they're good at mm-hmm. and embrace it. I was good at sports, but I was blind. I can't see. I have to wear contacts. I got to wear glasses. So I was always good at poetry. I would write poetry. And it turned into singing afterwards. And I let a lot of things get in the way. I let a lot of things distract me from my dream. Mm-hmm. And nowadays I see these little kids doing these stupid things online.
On TikTok.
And they're living the life that I should be living.
Well, I mean, again, it goes back to what makes you happy.
You know what? And I've come to the fact that nothing's going to make me happy. But what will make me happy?
This podcast is making you happy.
Of course. But what's gonna make me happy, though, is knowing that when I pass out, my kids will have something. My kids will have something.
That's no doubt. I was podcasting my dad the other day, and I'll tell you this much, man. It was so fun, just talking with him, hearing his experiences, hearing his things, and once the headphones came off, the guy was quiet. You know what I'm saying? Like it was so weird to see. How, like, when the headphones were on and he was like, this is like the radio, man, this is so cool. I've never known that this is what it is. And I was just like, yeah, go ahead, man. I was like, wow, that's cool. And then the headphones came off and that was it. Big shout out going out to Dad and everybody out there listening. You know what? We're going to go ahead and wrap it up right now. But thank you so much for joining us. Now you're going by Nobody?
Nobody.
Nobody. All right, man. Formerly known as...
What happened to your homie? Nobody knows.
Formerly known as...
Blick.
There you go. All
right, guys. How long was it?